go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 101 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Now, I am well aware that in the beginning of episode 100, I had a somber mood, and that's because, well, as you now know, I was looking at the numbers we are doing here at Verbal Graffiti, and they are not where I wanted nor expected them to be this far along in the project, being almost a year now. But upon some reflection, and that's not much reflection because I do record two episodes at once, so back to back, so we're belly to belly, so we're talking maybe 20 minutes or so of reflection as I get everything ready for this one, that I need to be more uplifting, and I will be this episode, I promise you that, until something, you know, goes haywire here. But yeah, because even though the numbers and the success is yet to come, what we're doing here at Verbal Graffiti and what this has become, and the fact that this is an entity, a thing, it's tangible, is magic. Because a year ago, this did not exist. This was a mere figment of my imagination. Like I had, you know, for a year or so prior to last year, I was thinking about maybe doing a podcast, YouTube video show, and I kind of had some ideas for what the format was going to be and what I wanted the set and the backdrop to look like. And I had changed, you know, I didn't put it together, but as I was collecting erotic novels and some supplies, the vision changed. And, you know, all it was a vision, but I actually put it together. And me, with the help of some others, and to all of you that helped me, both spiritually and physically, I thank you very much for the support and the help. But it is, you know, it's part of, mostly, it is the reason why I'm anti-abortion. And the reason so is because the brain, the human brain, is the most valuable resource we have on Earth. It's not anything in the environment, it's the brain. You think about everything in Earth, everything that makes our life great, enjoyable, it's come from a thought that somebody had, and they took that thought and they formed it, and then they actually made it into something that you can see, that you can feel, that you can smell, that you can be part of, that makes you laugh. And, you know, that's what we're doing. Now, this isn't a spaceship, or it's not some app that's going to make your day easier, but this, hopefully, whatever the fuck Verbal Graffiti is, gives you a little bit of joy. And it came from up here. And that, in the fact that it came from here, it went through my soul, and I built it, and the camera, and all that technology, and the microphone, and it put it all together and formed something, and turned that vision into something that everybody can see and hear and hopefully enjoy. That's spiritual, man. That is magic. And I'm so happy that we're doing this here at Verbal Graffiti. And I had the balls to take the vision and go for it, and didn't suppress the urge to do, to make the, to suppress that vision. And I listened to it and I made it. And even though nobody on the internet's listening, I am so thrilled to be doing this and to be here with all of you, and I'm so stoked for the next 100 episodes, and hell, maybe even 500 if I'm lucky to still be alive that long. And so, a round of applause and a tip of the penis to the B-Man, Brian Glass. Now, in episode 100, I'd also mentioned somebody's name, an infamous name. Her name is Lily Phillips. If you know her, good for you. And she's the floozy who, and I say that term affectionately, floozy, had sexual relations with 100 randos somewhere over there in Europe, but within a 24-hour period in an Airbnb that she rented. Ugh. Maybe you shouldn't be renting out Airbnbs when, you know, people are doing that, but that's another topic. And now I read a headline, only a headline. I'm not sure if this actually happened or not, but there is this other OnlyFans content creator who goes by the name Bonnie Blue, who claims to have had sex with over 1,000 Johns in a 12-hour period. Now, this is disturbing to me, the B-man, and not for the reason you think. Hey, if a floozy wants to open her legs and have sex with as many men as she wants within a short period of time, good for you. Good for you. I wish there were more women like you in this world who would be willing to have sex with a line, just have a train of guys, one after the other, boom, 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 knock them out. Everybody's happy. They got a lemonade stand for your vagina. Just everybody comes in, gets a sip, gets a dip, and, you know, like a public pool. I want to see more. I wish there were more women like that in this world. Sorry, babes. But, they're cheating the system. They're cheating. They found a loophole in what we consider sex. That being Lily Phillips and Bonnie Blue and any babe like this who is trying to go for like a world record of a number of times you have sex in one day. And see, because the B-man, I'm a romantic. All right. And the fact that if you have a lady who's having sex with 1,000 Johns in 24 hours, that's impossible. You cannot have sex with the real sex with 1,000 guys in less than a day, 24 hours, and have it be real sex. See, what they're doing, Lily Phillips and Bonnie Blue, is they found a loophole. See, they're not having sexual intercourse with hundreds of guys in a 24-hour period. What they're actually doing is playing tag with their genitals. There is no, it's sex by the definition of the law, but by of the spirit of what sexual activity is, they aren't having sex with any guys in a 12 or 24-hour period. It's just a guy's taking his piece. Her legs are spread, boom, boom, like, tag, you're it, leave the room, next guy comes in, tag, you're it. It's a conveyor belt, it's an assembly line, there's not a lot of real humping and a lot of orgasming and a lot of eye contact and spooning. This is a, what is it, you know, when you go to Costco and they have the sample of, it's the chicken sample with the toothpick in it, and you eat a bunch of, I had seven meals at Costco's. No, you didn't. No, you had seven bites. You did not have seven meals. Same thing with this. You did not have sex with 1,000 Johns, Bonnie Blue. What you did is you had 1,000 penises touch your vagina. Or maybe insert themselves into your vagina. But there was no sex being had. This is it's a stunt. Yeah, you found a loophole. Like, you read the definition of what sex is, and you found a way to get around it. Similar, I used to be a tax lawyer. Bonnie Blue, Lucy Phillips, or Lily Phillips. The two of you should be tax lawyers, because you know how to find loopholes in the laws. That's what you two should do. And also continue having sex with lots and lots of Johns. But yeah, what do you guys think? Am I off base with that? Do you think is merely putting your genitals together? Yeah, if you're a virgin and you do that, boom, that's sex. Hey, you had sex, tip of the penis to you, good for you. But if you're actually trying to break a Guinness Book of World Records, you're trying to get into record books, or if you're trying to pull a stunt like this where you're obviously been very sexually active before this. Like, just touching genitals, like one guy, one babe after another, that you're really, really pushing the limit of what we're constituting as sexual relations fucking. So I Bonnie Blue, if what you're saying is true, that you had sex with 1,000 Johns in a 12-hour period, I actually think it might have been 1,047. I'm not going to acknowledge your record, and I'm going to put an asterisk right next to your record, because I don't think it should be a valid record, because you found a loophole, you know, going towards that record. So yeah, again, to the 10 of you that are watching, if there are that many, let me know down in the comments. Am I off base, or do you agree with me? All right. With that controversial topic out of the way, let's continue and go on to find something I found on Reddit. This is a fun one, right? This is a fun one. We're going to have fun. How many times can the B-Man say fun in a row? All right. Comes from the subreddit Black Magic. Recommendations and ideas for a fidelity spell using a penis candle and more? So I've been planning this spell for a long time and doing my research. I have a black penis candle, and my intention was using it to make a man desire me and only me, and make it impossible for him to desire other women. Basically, keep him loyal to me, even though we are not in an exclusive relationship. I plan to write his full name and date of birth and put a picture of me at the base. I also want to write on the candle something like, quote, "I'm the only person you desire. You are not attracted to anyone else, only me. You are loyal to me," unquote. But I'm not sure about the wording. I'm also not sure if I use some oil and herbs. I have an oil that is related to love and connection. And for herbs, I would make use clove, nutmeg, Damiana, don't know what that is, and cinnamon. What would you guys recommend for the spell? What should I write? Should I use herbs or not? Should I do something else, etc.? Also, if you have any other ideas for fidelity, you desire only me type of spell, I would really appreciate them. Do you hear that? Did you hear that? Listen, put your head up to, put your microphones next to your ear and listen. Because if you listen closely, you can hear my heart beating, because I think I'm in love. All right, I'm in love with you. This black magic lady, I am in love with you. You are the type of batshit crazy I've been searching for since I hit puberty, and I didn't even know I was searching for you till I read this post. I am in love. I am raising my hand, confessing my love for you. I don't know if this penis candle fidelity spell worked on the man you wanted to, but it worked on me. Merely just the thought of it has me willing to give you all my possessions. You want all my stage, all my erotic literature books? You can have them. I will do anything for you. I am in love. You know, I read your post, and you know, it's probably the reason why I've never been married. I'm childless. I've not been in a committed monogamous relationship since George W. Bush was in office. And the reason is because there's been no batshit crazy babe out there who's put a fidelity spell on me. Now, as much as I could and be somber and sad about that, you know, I'm going to man up and accept that I am to blame for a babe never putting a fidelity spell on me, the B-Man, because for a lady to put a black magic penis candle fidelity spell on a guy, like, that guy has to have, he has to have a dick attack game that is so Like, it is so amazing that he is a all-pro dick attacker. Now, I'm not talking, if you know anything about football, he's got to be all-pro, right? I'm not talking about a Pro Bowler, right? You can't have a Pro Bowl dick attack game where, yeah, you made the Pro Bowl, but the only reason why you made the team is because the two guys ahead of you in the rankings, they had injuries, and then the third guy, he didn't want to go to the event, so that's why you made the Pro Bowl. I'm talking, to have a fidelity spell like this put on you, you need to be all pro, all decade team, dick attack. Like, that's the type of dick you gotta have. And this guy, who she wants to put a spell on, is all-decade dick attack team captain, right? This guy, he's dicking down this babe so well. Like, she knows he's not even giving her exclusivity up to this point. He's out there trying to find babes who are married to the street. He's trying to get into the slits and the cooters of any babe who's just walking up and down the street with a skirt on. He's trying to get inside of, and he is getting inside of. And this lady is at home, and her mindset should be, wait, you're fucking me, and you're fucking all these other floozies out there? Fuck you. Get out of my life. Go find a faithful guy like the B-Man. But no, he has such an amazing dick attack that she is, like, she's seeking out the counsel of witches to figure out the right spell to keep this guy with her. Like, this guy is dicking down this lady so well that the only way she can think is in voodoo logic. That is a real dick attack, and you gotta tip your penis to the guy. You know, it's tip of the penis, that is a new term I'm using. Like, I only dream. The B-Man, I would dream. Like, I didn't even know this was possible. Like, I'd be satisfied. Right? I have a pedestrian dick. They call it the boyfriend dick. It's. I'd be thrilled with, if I got a text after midnight going, hey, are you up? Can I come over? Like, I don't even get those. Like, if I got that, I'd be bragging to my boys. But to have a guy, or sorry, to have a dick so magnificent, that's so spellbinding, that there is a lady out there who's trying to put herbs and oils and mix it with wax and make a candle out of it, the shape of your penis. That's some black magic. I can't even wrap my head. It's almost the idea of that. It's you might as well. It's quantum physics, because I can't comprehend it. And there's nothing I can do that will ever get me to the point of understanding it. I could just only stand back and admire those who have it. And I do not have it. Now, in a dream world, if I was an all-pro, all-decade team dick attack guy, what would I want my dick penis candle to be? All right, if I walk into my babe's apartment on her coffee table, that's where I want my penis candle that she made of me. I don't want black. I don't want a black candle. I want it to be beige, white, because that's who I am. And at the base of it, I want a bunch of Polaroid photos of the two of us together. Now, I actually don't want you to put herbs and spices. Now, if this candle was for me, I wouldn't want herbs and spices and oils, because the scent that would come from the candle, I think it might be distracting. All right, when I look at a spellbinding penis candle, I only want to focus on the candle. I want no other distractions. So I want my candle on the coffee table with the photos of us and nothing else. Now, on the shaft of the candle, that's where I want you to write messages. And I don't want you to mention anybody else. I want you, the black magic, batshit crazy lady you are, to write messages that vow your love to me for eternity. What I want you to write on that candle, on the shaft of that candle, is, I I give you my love, my soul for eternity. From here to this penis candle, to the depths of hell in the sixth level down there, I am yours today and forever. What do you think about that, huh? What do you think about that? And I also, all right, I want you to be Arab with my penis candle. I want you to have a mat, and I want you to bow to it and pray to my penis candle 5 times a day. And also what I want you to do so that you profess your love for me, I want you to take that pocket constitution that you carry around, and I want you to burn it with my penis candle, the flame that's coming up, because you're losing your freedom. You're giving everything you have to me because I am better than freedom. All right? And if you say, no fucking way. Well, hey, you made a penis candle of me. Actions speak louder than words. And actually, I don't want you to light the candle. I want you to put a sparkler on the top of the tip of the penis, coming out of the fake urethra. I want sparkles, because that's what our love is, right? If I have such a spellbinding penis, I want it to sparkle, not just light up. But again, this is a dream world. No one's ever going to make a penis candle and put a spell on me. But this guy, sometimes you just got to admit that there are men out there that are better than you. And clearly that this lady making a penis candle and putting a spell on this magical guy who's just out there swinging his dick in a whole bunch of strange. Again, it's quantum physics. I don't even know what else to say. Just good for you, and I hope it works. And do know that if you do get this guy to commit to you, fidelity, one-on-one, just the two of you, you're probably going to end up killing him, right? If you make a penis candle of your man, you're batshit crazy, and you're liable to do anything. So enjoy the love while you have it, because at some point, a knife will be going into his chest with your hand holding the knife. Let's go look at some photos. Am I a misogynist? Absolutely. Actually, I am a proud card-carrying member of the misogynist party, political party, that is. And I had a instance this past weekend that reconfirmed that I am a misogynist. I was doing stand-up, had a great set, as did all the other comics. It was a really fun time. Thank you, Pool Boy, for booking me. I'd love to come back. We were in West Hartford, which, if you don't know, is an affluent area. And after the comedy show, a lot of us comics were upstairs at the bar, and there was a DJ there, and there's a lot of nightlife there at that bar and in that area of West Hartford. And I noticed something that caught my eye, and I don't know if I've ever seen this before. There were two security guards checking pedestrians, patrons, as they came into the bar, because this is late at night on the weekend. This bar does become like a college, young, kind of clubby type place. But the two security guards were babes. And not just, they were not, UFC muscle maxing babes. They were just normal body fat, pedestrian types bodies, nothing intimidating about these women. They weren't wearing black shirts that had the big security written on the back. I wouldn't know they were security. I would have assumed those were two friends hanging out by the front door, having a cocktail. But no, they were there, and I was watching them for a good half hour. Like, I was having a conversation with Pool Boy and a couple other guys, but through the corner of my eye, I was watching these two security guards, and I had never seen them there before. And I do a lot of stand-up at the Elbow Rooms on the weekends, and usually they have a big, round ex-Marine or ex-Army. He's a guy, like an intimidating figure who does security and checks the IDs and keeps things in check. And I don't know where he was. And I was watching these two, and I found it right away. As soon as I saw them and I saw the back of their shirts with security, and it kind of all formed in my head, wait, these two babes are security for this bar. And I got concerned because I'm a misogynist. Like, I've never seen two female. I started to think, well, what if there's a fight? Like, what are these two security guards going to do? Like, I don't know, unless they know some voodoo MMA, like they're not going to be able to stop two, college muscular guys, boozed up and testosterone flying, and they start throwing haymakers. What are they going to do? And the bartender there, I won't say her name, but she's a lady, lovely lady. So the only people really in charge of this bar, right, nightlife, a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs as well in that area, are just two 20-something, doesn't seem strong ladies. And I was very, like, I wanted to see a fight break out at this bar or something, some type of conflict to see what those two security guards would do, because I don't think they would have been able to break anything up. I was just there thinking, well, why did the owner of this bar put two babes as the security? And something happened that made me think, I might have found the answer of why this bar used two ladies as their security. Because as every patron, like lady that came into the bar, these two lady security guards, they would have flashlights and they would be, searching every lady's handbag. So maybe that's why. And maybe the owner of the bar does not want, or maybe there was somebody who complained that, hey, there's a guy checking my handbag and I have personal items in there and I felt violated. So maybe that's why the owner of the bar went with the female security. That way, females check females. Maybe. Why were they so intent on checking handbags? I suspect it is because the babes are trying to sneak in liquor into the bar because drinks now are very expensive. And maybe they're sneaking it in for themselves and their group and their guys. Hey, I sneak liquor. I sneak nips into bars. So, yeah, I am definitely a misogynist. I wouldn't say I'm anti-female security, but maybe I'm anti-only female security. Maybe we should have, like, I'm cool if it's half and half, two guys, two girls working security together. But if you only have, if shit hits the fan, like, how many times do I have to say? Like, I don't think they're going to step in and break up any fights. So, if you want to get into a fight, do the elbow room on the weekend because they have female security and they ain't going to be able to stop you. All right, let's keep it going on. Keep it going. Found this one on the subreddit for toddlers. When did you stop changing in front of your toddler? My daughter is 2.5 years old and still follows me everywhere. I changed my shirt and just put a bra on in front of her and my husband this morning, and he immediately said I need to stop. I never thought anything of it. He was quite upset and said I need to stop before three, so she doesn't remember it. His reasoning is because it's inappropriate. It's not every single time, but she will often come into the bathroom while I'm using the toilet or the shower. Sometimes we shower together because it's more convenient. I didn't think it was a big deal. I don't bring her with me to do these things, but sometimes she's there with me. He's a WFH, work from home, so I'm tempted to start sending her to his office every time I need to use the bathroom or change now. No. Your husband is wrong. You are correct. There's nothing inappropriate about what you are doing in front of your child at the age of 2.5. This confirms either that your husband is a prude and or might have some Catholic guilt and or maybe some jealousy. Because I do know. Now, I did mention in the previous segment that I've never been married. I've been single for a very long time. But if I was married, right, and we had kids together, I would be very jealous if she was changing in front of our 2.5-year-old. I'd be asking her, like, hey, why are you showing our daughter your chest and not me? Like, the only reason why I married you is because of those D cups. So I only want you showing those to me, not all the toddlers in our family. Thank you very much. That would be my response. But again, that's why I'm not married, because no woman's ever going to be with a guy who thinks like that. All right, here's my solution for you. You need to, right, next time your daughter's at daycare, wherever the fuck you put her, where you don't have to deal with her, you need to go to your husband's office, the work from home office, and you need to pull down his sweatpants and you got to give him a blowy, and not just any blowy. You got to give him the sloppiest sloppy top that's ever been given in the history of sloppy top. I'm talking saliva everywhere. It's got to be coming down your cheeks. It's got to be seeping in down your thighs, into the carpet, on the walls. It's got to be so sloppy with your saliva, DNA, all over that work from home office. It's got to be such a mess that afterwards you need to call. You have your house cleaner that comes once a week. You need to call her and go, hey, you got to get here ASAP and clean this work from home office, because my saliva is all over it. And he's got to work, and he's got to go back to work by the end of lunch. So you got to get here quick and fix this up. And what you got to do is when you're finishing him off, don't swallow his goo. You gotta have him give you the bukkake, right? You gotta have him put his goo all over your chin, all over your face. And what you do then is, after he busts, you take that cum, you wipe it off your face, and you rub it on the degree that's on the wall. His degree from whatever college, you wipe his semen all over it. Then you pull your husband by the hair, and you whisper in his ear, and you go, you married a nasty bitch, and your daughter is going to be an exhibitionist, right? She has my genes. I'm a nasty bitch. She's going to be a nasty bitch when she's 18 years of age. So don't you try instilling your Catholic guilt in her. Don't you ever do that again. And then you leave the room. Your husband will listen to you. He'll let you dress in front of your little child anywhere and everywhere, in the house, at the soccer field, all over the place. Just keep giving that husband of yours the sloppiest of top until you get your way. Now, that will work. Trust me. Trust the B-man on that. Looking back at my own life, I might have been... It was first grade when I started showering alone. When I was in first grade, I believe my mom, we had little cups, and she would fill like the soap, and at the time I had hair, obviously, and conditioner and soap and shampoo. So little like cups, so I knew how much to use for the first week or so. And after that, I was on my own for showering. But up until first grade, sometimes I would shower with my dad, or I'd be in the bathroom, you know, when my parents were going to, you know, using the toilet and all that. And I definitely remember taking baths with my sister, who's like a year and a half, sometimes 2 years older than me, depending on the time of the year. Like, we would take baths together, and there was nothing perverted about it. You know, when we were, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, it's really... No, it's nothing perverted. It's more so it's easier on the parents, and it's time consuming. I'm the youngest of 5, so if you have 2 young kids together, so, well, are you going to give them separate baths? Or no, just take it together. They're young, nothing, no hair yet or anything. So yeah, just take baths together. And honestly, I had other kids in our neighborhood potty training me. We had like boys and girls who lived up and down the street, and we were all helping each other like potty train and taking baths together. We had family, friends. Yeah, everyone was taking baths together. Now that I'm looking at it, maybe it is kind of freaky what we were doing. This wasn't a utopia, free love type neighborhood. It was a regular suburban neighborhood, American neighborhood. But I never really thought anything of it till I think about it right now after this post. But we all ended up somewhat normal, other than me. But are you still breastfeeding? That seems okay, right? 2.5. Now, if you're still breastfeeding your daughter, like right before her high school cross country meet, then your husband has a right to intervene and have an intervention in your case. But I say till first grade or till kindergarten, you should feel no shame. You shouldn't feel awkward at all changing in front of your daughter or changing her in front of you. Maybe this is a bit extreme. Again, I don't have kids, so I'm kind of thinking out loud here. But at 2.5, you should still feel comfortable like having sex in front of your child at 2.5. I know some babes I've been with, I've always heard of people won't have sex if they have a pet in the room, like their dog's got to leave the room. Dude, if your dog's in the room, fuck away. The dog's fucking in front of you, so you can fuck in front of your dogs. But 2.5, having sex in front of your boy or your girl, I don't think that's going to fuck up their mind. And certainly dressing and, going to the bathroom for them, that's not going to mess up their mind. I do know, is it common? Maybe 2.5 is a little too old to be having sex. But yeah, I say till the age of 3. Until they can form full sentences. Until they hit full sentences, you should be allowed to boink in front of them. Once they put up full sentences and start asking real questions, let's say 3 years old, that's when you have to have them leave the master bedroom, lock the door, and get your business in. Up until then, though, I think people, maybe I'm at the far end of the spectrum there. There are definitely parents who are fucking when their child is still in the nursery, right? When, what do you call that? That thing, not the bed, but the, I'm definitely not a parent. I don't even know the name of that thing. Carriage, whatever the fuck that's called. There are definitely, then when the baby's an infant, right? When the baby's an infant and in your master bedroom, you fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Parents are fucking in front of their infant child. Right. Right. I don't know. That's all. I don't know. But yeah, I think you're okay. I don't think you're doing anything wrong. Your husband's trying to instill his Catholic guilt onto your child. Do not let him do that. Honestly, I think in America, we're all a little weird when it comes to being naked in front of our family. We should be a little bit more European in that regard and be okay seeing each other naked. And the Europeans, they got to take air conditioning from us. So they take our air conditioning, we take their nudity, and the world will be a better place. So that good on you. You're a great parent. Your husband, divorce him. All right, we're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. Again, we are pro-consent here at Verbal Graffiti. This is a novel we're reading. We don't necessarily, we do not consent to everything that's being said in this, but we're reading it for fun. All right, we are on the top of page 71. If you have the novel, we're reading two pages together. "Don't turn away, my dear," he said, noting her reaction. "This is history. Have you ever heard the Siege of Warwick?" "No, no," she said timidly, her eyes returning slowly to the lurid picture. "It took place about 500 AD when Warwick was still small and had been under siege for several months. Finally, the siege broke when the enemy stormed the walls and destroyed the city. The picture shows the enemies taking the spoils." As Pamela let her eyes gaze more openly at the illustration, she became fascinated with the naked, debauched figures she saw. A slight tremor of excitement went through her as she saw the medieval soldiers poised with huge, erect penises, ready to ravage the nakedly cringing maidens. The women in the picture were obviously terrified of their assailants, but there was something in their eyes that betrayed a sense of eagerness and delight, too. The young wife noticed it at once, once suddenly saw herself in a similar situation. "Now, Pamela," the doctor said solemnly, "we are going to relive this moment of history, free, and free you further. Are you ready?" "Yes, yes, I'm ready," she replied, wondering what was in store for her. "Follow me then," he said. He led her out the room and down the corridor, where they came to a door on their left. Opening the door, Carlsberg ushered Pamela inside. She found herself in a spacious, brightly lit room, empty of all furniture, done in lavender with thick, deep purple rug on the floor. It was a very comfortable place, and she felt extremely secure in it. Carlsberg opened a door along one of the walls, revealing a huge rack of clothing that looked like costumes. "We keep all the things we need for fantasy play here in the room," he said. "Now I'm going out for just a moment, and while I'm gone, I want you to put this on." He withdrew a very thin garment of white, subtle linen and handed it to her. I'm going next door to prepare myself. I will return when I'm ready." He turned and went through the entrance door, closing it behind him. Pamela picked up the garment and immediately liked the texture. There was something about it that was soft and sensual, and the design was quite unusual. Obviously an exact replica of what a peasant maiden might have worn. Eagerly, Pamela stripped herself of her clothing and her bubbling with drug-induced excitement and put on the strange costume. At once, her body became warm and somewhat aroused, for she was completely at home in the linen garment. She looked at herself in the mirror that was attached inside of the closet door. "Go suck a fat one."